And good morning. It's a open phone Tuesday today. We did not have a we didn't have an open phone day yesterday because it was a holiday. It was the 4th of July. And I was not here. Well, I was here. I did weathers and I did check in and I did sports and stuff like that. But for the most part, no. Colin was in, I believe, Illinois and had his family's I had family. We had family activities and things like that going on. But anyway, it was 4th of July yesterday. It's always kind of hard, and Colin knows this as well as I do, and anyone who has to get up very early the day after the 4th of July, it seems harder going to work the day after the 4th of July, perhaps, and I don't know if it's different than any other holiday, but I think because there's fireworks and there's sort of a you know, people stay up later typically on the 4th of July. So it's
a big party day.
Well, and it's also after the weekend, it's you know, it's hard to go back into that sink. But it's hard for anybody else to you know, we do an early morning show and that's what it is. But anyway, it is an open phone day today. The story out of Highland Park, Illinois, is disturbing because of seeing the video. I watched the video of that. They fortunately did not show the most graphic of the victims and violence and things like that. But this was, all I could think about when I heard there were so many shots, there were over 100 shots fired in a few seconds. And I'm thinking, okay,
either he had multiple guns or an extended magazine.
He had one gun, I believe.
Extended magazine.
And he, whatever he had, but he had a lot. He had an awful lot. There's those shots. He was mowing people down. He was mowing people down like you cut corn with your corn harvester. It's like, that's the thing. And I'm thinking, okay, so what do you need? This is the question I would ask the NRA. What does anybody need a weapon that can shoot like that? What do you need? You know how easy it is to get it to be that, to be able to shoot that.
Semi-automatic pistols and shotguns and hunting rifles, that's one thing. But and fully automatic assault weapon, that's a whole another beast.
Well, then, do you call it an assault weapon? Was it AR-15 a second? It's not called an assault weapon, is it?
I believe the AR-15 platform is considered an assault weapon by some people.
I would think probably by a lot of people. And this guy was, he told his story on social media. Social media is to be faulted for not. Don't they have an algorithm that can pick up on these? But I know they're not going to do anything about it, are they?
Yes, because you talk about an algorithm to pick things up. They were talking about having some sort of built-in algorithm that sees these sort of, we'll call them red flags. But that also has pitfalls of its own because it can pick up false positives.
I know, I understand.
And also it's seen as, by some, as somewhat invasive.
A little too 1984-ish, I'm understanding. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
You and I have just read too much science fiction, but...
Yeah, I know. It's not so much... The fact is that what we're seeing, and here's what we're really seeing, is that we're seeing, and then there was other violence. There was another, they had the fireworks and they had a event in Philadelphia, shootings going on there. There's been shootings. We've had mass shootings virtually every day over this year.
Mm-hmm.
I know people point to the West Burlington pool. At least that was not a mass shooting. It was somebody.
It was a targeted assault.
Now using a firearm and firing at somebody when you've got the pool right behind that person. Yes, that's
reckless.
That's pretty reckless.
And it's stupid to try and shoot somebody. Let's establish that.
Let's establish it. You're
shooting somebody is stupid and wrong.
You're angry at somebody, so you shoot them.
That's stupid and it's wrong.
Which is attempted murder, and so it's
in some cases just murder.
In some cases just plain murder. And And what do you gain? I mean, do we? Violence has leaked. I told you this story was a week ago. Now, by the way, our phone lines are open. I told you this a week ago.
It's just the normal sort of violence you expect. It's escalated to a point where shooting somebody is the norm.
What has also happened is, and I pointed out Chicago, because Chicago, I mentioned the fact that typically violence was limited to only 4% of the neighborhood.
You see it with most major cities is that most of the area of crime is within a certain areas.
Most of it. What we're seeing in what has happened in Chicago, and it's also happened in other major cities as well, is that violence has leaked out of the areas where we used to see. Violence used to be pretty limited to to this sort of area.
You knew the places not to go at certain times.
You knew that you didn't go there, and now what you're seeing is that it can. It doesn't happen very often, but it can. It can leak into any neighborhood. My daughter lives in a very nice area, River North area of Chicago, downtown Chicago.
Fancy.
And it doesn't matter. Even we went to one of the nicest restaurants in the area, which is near her where she lives, and it was a wonderful restaurant, and we had a great time. And then she told me, she said, we were talking the next day. She said, there was a shooting. Somebody had been carjacked
just down the street.
They had been carjacked and shot
down the street
in front of that restaurant.
Really?
Now, that happened, I think, 2 weeks or 3 weeks before, but it's like, okay, so is there any place that's totally safe anymore? Maybe not. I don't know.
I really couldn't be the person to say.
I don't know if anybody can. I think what we're seeing, at least we're seeing the fact that violence is sort of, it's spread out. It can happen anywhere. It can happen any place. It can happen any time.
And it has escalated.
And it has escalated, yes. There is more violence now, and there are more mass shootings now than there have ever been in history.
And a lot of people have thrown out different solutions to this, whether it be stronger gun regulation, whether it be more mental health care, better background checks, whatever. I think you and I are very much of the same opinion on this. The solution to the problem is not banning guns, and it is also not more guns.
I don't know what you do. Do you need an assault rifle? Do you need an assault rifle for hunting or for sport?
Or for home defense?
Or for home defense? Yeah. I mean, that's...
Like, I know a guy who owns a pistol and a shotgun, and that's all he has, and he says... One is for target shooting, the other's for home defense, and that's fine.
No, and I
would
agree.
And he has the proper licenses for all of it.
And as long as you're and everybody, you need to be properly trained in use of it.
And I also know why he owns them. He lives in a really crappy neighborhood.
If you live, yes. I think it's, and I know that we've had the DJV show when we did have it on. And Jennifer Horn lived in a sort of, an area where she had somebody who just all of a sudden showed up in her house one night.
Yeah, there are certain places and situations where guns for home defense or for just general self-defense are, in some cases, required.
Now, here's the other thing that is happening. You know that in both by law, and as far as I know, I think it's pretty much it's federal law. That is, if you have a weapon for home defense, mm-hmm. if you have a weapon for home defense, and somebody shows up inside your house, then using that if you are not attacked, using that,
you're supposed to give verbal warning for them to leave, and then if they attack you or show aggression, then
yes, but they have to. But But that's where we've seen the people that have fired guns
if somebody's just standing in your house or on your property, you can't just walk up and shoot them without warning.
And you can't have – I remember when there was if somebody had break-ins that were happening often in a business or often in a house, they would set up a –
alarm system.
They would set up a system where if somebody entered that house, if you entered the house.
Also, just a side note, home security systems have gotten better and better over the past few years. Like, you can just go over to Target and buy a couple of doorbell cameras and an alarm that once they see any suspicious activity, they will send alerts to your phone, like somebody tried to get in your house, like smart locks and Ring cameras and all of those. That technology has become leaps and bounds.
Those of you that are listening now, I grew up in an era where we never locked. Did we ever lock our door when I was growing up? Never.
We did.
Do I lock my door now? You bet. Do I go anywhere without locking the door? No. Do I go anywhere without locking the car? No.
No. Especially that one.
No, because I know that it's one. I know that it.
No, but I'm saying just. I was just marveling that, like, you used to, if you wanted a home security system, it used to be, what, a couple $1,000 to have somebody come
right.
and install.
I know. Now it's
now you
cheap.
Could just go pick up a couple of Ring cameras for, like, $200.
I know. Anyway, so that's one of the issues that we're facing right here, is that there is more violence. So what do you do,
and
how do you combat violence?
You know, and I just want to get this point out here. A lot of times when people talk about new gun legislation, they see it, especially the very, very pro-gun crowd, they see it as an attack on all firearms owners and say, oh, you're punishing law-abiding gun owners. It's like, clearly, they are not the target of any regulation or legislation. They're going after people like the person who committed that horrible crime in Chicago.
Well, that was a 20-year-old. He would have been under the law that they would have had that if he was purchasing. Now, we don't know we don't know for sure that he was... That we believe that he obviously they believe
no,
he was.
I know. I'm just saying. My point is, I don't think they have too many scruples. People who own guns and are safe about it, and who are safe, law-abiding gun owners.
And I guess the other
like
thing,
if you have a gun and all you use it for is to shoot at the range and possibly to protect your family, I don't think many people would bat an eye at that.
I guess the question that would come up is assault weapons themselves. And that is,
you would be shocked at what types of firearms you can acquire in this country.
I know you can acquire them. I'm well aware of that.
Mostly if they're naturally fully automatic, you have to buy a semi-automatic variant because I'm pretty sure you cannot legally own a fully automatic firearm in most states.
But as we've heard by callers who have called in, and you know yourself, you can turn a semi-automatic fairly easily into an automatic weapon, can't you?
Yeah, you can definitely disregard that illegality. And
right. It is illegal to do that, but it's illegal to be shooting people, too. So
if your aim is to shoot at people, you clearly don't care about breaking the law.
Well, and this was, you mentioned he might have been, maybe he had an extensive magazine. I mean, I'm telling you, there was a lot of shots in a very short time, and then he got out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, he did his damage and he got out.
No, clearly, I'm just saying the point of a lot of these discussions is they're focused on people like this guy.
Yeah.
Of who obtain firearms for very, very bad, for
the only purpose
immoral
was to kill,
purposes.
The only purpose for him to acquire a firearm
was to kill people.
And
they're trying to stop things like that from happening. And how do you stop that from happening? We don't know.
The Uvalde, Texas shooter only had that gun to kill people. He didn't kill children.
Those are the type of people they're worried about. And how do you fix that problem? We don't know. But these are discussions that need to be had.
The gunman in Buffalo, New York.
And,
same reason.
And much like a lot of government process, the solution is not going to be one that pleases everyone.
I don't know what if there is a solution, because you're going to have those who will say, well, you know,
it's infringing on the Second Amendment
and it infringes on my Second Amendment rights. And I use an AR-15. I use it for sport. I use it at the target range. I use it at whatever. And I understand. Okay. if you didn't have that weapon, would you still be able to have some, be able to have the, what you needed to protect yourself, what you needed to be able to have at the target range? I would think so, but the fact
I think
is
that depends on who you ask.
I know. That's the problem. It's not one shoe fits all. It's everybody's got, and if you've got, if you're a, and nobody wants to, I think nobody wants to take rights away from anybody who are law-abiding citizens. I don't buy that either. But I don't know what the answer is, and I don't know if there is an answer.
There's not an easy answer.
There is no easy answer, and
it's not going to be an answer that pleases everyone.
And a knee-jerk...
Because when you try to please everybody, who do you please?
Nobody.
Exactly.
And a knee-jerk reaction is never going to be a good reaction either.
No.
Because it's always going to be...
And I said it, and I'll say it again. The solution to this problem is not no guns, and it's also not more guns.
I know. It's one of those. Yeah, I don't know what the. But see, that's.
I heard some states were working on legislation to allow teachers to carry firearms.
I know. I've heard of that too. They've talked about that, and that's been out for some time.
And if you ask some people, would you be more comfortable if your kid was in a school where a teacher was carrying a weapon to defend themselves? Some people would probably say yes. Others would probably say absolutely not.
The debate comes up every time there is a school shooting. The debate comes up every time there's a mass shooting. The debate, and we have, and it seems that mass shootings are happening all the time right now. And violence is happening anywhere right now. And so...
Didn't we just hear of a mass shooting somewhere in Europe a couple
yes,
days ago?
Yes, it was in Copenhagen.
In Denmark.
In Denmark. And we had another shooting, another mass shooting in Norway. I mean, these are places you don't, come on, they don't
you
see
think,
that.
Yeah, their gun legislations in a lot of European countries are even more strict than here.
There is. It is a. It's
we
a,
actually probably among civil first world countries have some of the loosest gun legislation.
Well, we do definitely have that. There's no doubt about that. And the right to keep and bear arms and the whole reading of the Constitution. Constitution has
a lot
been,
of people when they argue against the Second Amendment, they say, well, that legislation was written when everybody had muskets.
When yes, it was. It was also written. It was also written as a. With the idea, it was written with the idea that we don't want to have the citizenry completely,
at the mercy of the government.
We don't want to have them at the mercy of the government. We don't want to have them at the mercy of another foreign power coming in, such as Great Britain, and then at that time coming in at that time. That's the right to keep and bear arms. Now, Southern people have read it and interpreted it differently, but for whatever purpose. It doesn't matter because...
I'm sorry, did you say Southern people or...
No. Other people.
Okay, I heard that very wrong.
Other people. No. Other people have said it. It's a militia, a trained...
A well-regulated militia.
And that's also in the Constitution, but that's another story. 6729. We're going to take a break. 319-754-1490. There we go. Let's give them the right phone number. 319-754-1490. Again, we're taking phone calls today. One of the other things that's also going on I'm curious about is we've got two things that are colliding on the other side, and that is, one, President Trump is looking to announce that he is going to run for president in 2024, and he wants to do it as soon as possible to take the basically to take the eyes away from the January 6th hearing.
Hmm.
To take the steam out of there.
Hmm.
Can he do it?
Hmm.
It's like, okay, does the left hand know what the right hand's doing? I don't know. 7:30 or 9:30 at KBUR, excuse me.
The Doug Gottlieb Show.
Is there a doctor here?
Listen.
This is why Dan Snyder didn't testify. Look, Dan Snyder may be the worst guy ever. He may be the worst owner ever. But if you thought that him showing up at a hearing was going to end well, I give you what happened to Roger Goodell. What's going to happen throughout these hearings, which it's a dog and pony show.
The Doug Gottlieb Show.
2 to 5 weekdays on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
DQ presents... The sound of a summer double play. It's the sound of drumstick pieces and peanuts combined with world-famous soft serve to make two all-star treats. The drumstick with peanuts blizzard and new caramel drumstick with peanuts blizzard. Grab one today or get it delivered at DQ.com. Official treat of MLB. DQ. Happy tastes good.
Gain presents a tale of longing and long-lasting scent. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain Flings. Add Gain scent beads for an even longer lasting scent.
A strong community has strong leaders. At the Greater Burlington Partnership, we are dedicated to helping develop strong leaders for our community. Each year, we offer Greater Burlington Leadership, the area's number one professional development series designed to strengthen leadership skills within the community. Greater Burlington Leadership gives both experienced and developing leaders opportunities to interact with businesses and help people who shape our community. Why should you sign up? Just ask Joanna Schnaden.
Anyone who wants to take an active part in getting to know the community and grow personally and professionally should definitely get involved. Greater Burlington Leadership allows you to better understand the community and teaches you numerous skills that will help you develop as a leader. Plus, it's a lot of fun seeing inside area businesses and getting to know your classmates.
Apply online for Greater Burlington Leadership at greaterburlington.com by July 15th. Greater Burlington Leadership is a program of the Chamber of Commerce, a division of the Greater Burlington Partnership, making connections, building community.
This is Steve Exum inviting you to join me this Saturday night at 8 at Burlington's Crapo Park for the 26th Southeast Iowa Symphony Symphonic Blast. A fabulous pops concert with an incredible fireworks display from J&M Displays. Symphonic Blast, Saturday night at 8 in Crapo Park with the concert broadcast Sunday night at 8 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. Brought to you by Standard of Beaverdale, where they believe in tradition and supporting local businesses and events.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. Officials have determined the cause of a house fire in Burlington to be accidental. According to a news release, at 5:04 p.m. Monday, the Burlington Fire Department responded to a reported house fire at 3011 Market Street in Burlington. Upon arrival, firefighters found light smoke coming from the west end of the attic. Firefighters were able to locate a small fire in the attic above the electrical panel, which was brought under control by 5:32 p.m. The fire in the duplex home was contained to the attic with smoke damage throughout and water damage in the kitchen. The cause of the fire is electrical in nature and is considered accidental. Authorities are investigating a woman's death in southeast Iowa. Radio Iowa's Oka Henderson reports.
A statement from the Iowa Department of Public Safety indicates someone notified the Monroe County Sheriff's Office on Sunday that a woman's body was in a rural area, and the news release refers to her death as an alleged homicide. Officers surrounded a home in the small town of La Villa but could not make contact with the woman's husband. Public safety officials say after hours of negotiations, a man in the house died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
An Iowa man is dead after the car he was driving crashed through the front window of a home Saturday morning. KCCI in Des Moines reports that the Iowa State Patrol responded to the crash east of Webster City. The patrol says 32-year-old Jory Lankin of Camera ran past a stop sign, entered a ditch, and went airborne before plowing through the window. The car, a 2006 Pontiac G6, came to a rest in the living room. No one was home at the time. Authorities say Lankin was trapped in the car and pronounced dead at the scene. The crash remains under investigation. Police say a gunman on a rooftop opened fire on an Independence Day parade in suburban Chicago, killing at least six people, wounding at least 30, and sending hundreds of marchers, parents with strollers, and children on bicycles fleeing in terror. Authorities say 21-year-old Robert E. Cremo III was named as a person of interest in the shooting and was taken into police custody Monday evening after an hours-long manhunt. From the KBUR newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
News. I'm Lillian Wu. We're getting details on how the person of interest in the Illinois parade mass shooting was captured hours after the attack.
An officer with the North Chicago Police Department spotted the suspect in his car a few miles from the parade route, the next town up. They took him into custody in the middle of the road around 6:30 yesterday evening.
Fox's Grady Trimble reports the suspected gunman's been identified.
Robert Cremo III. He grew up in this community of Highland Park. He's in his early 20s and had previously posted disturbing videos on social media.
And American basketball star Brittany Griner making a direct appeal to President Biden in a letter asking him not to forget about her and the other American detainees Griner arrested in Russia back in February, accused of possessing cannabis oil while returning to play for her Russian team. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
A sunny and hot day. We got a heat advisory in effect from noon today till 8 p.m. tonight. A high today 97. Heat index values up to 107. Southwest winds gusting to 20. For tonight, we'll see increasing clouds at 50% chance of a shower or thunderstorm overnight, a low down to 75. And for Wednesday, partly sunny, a 40% chance of a shower or thunderstorm and a high to 91 degrees. Heat index values up to 101 right now. We've got skies that are sunny, 87 degrees. Heat index up to 96.
Weather brought to you by Grandpa's Homemade Ice Cream. Real ice cream. Nothing artificial about Grandpa's. Located at 600 South Roosevelt Avenue, next to Mazio's.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Wall Street is back at it this morning after yesterday's 4th of July market holiday. Stocks are poised for a pullback. The euro has fallen to a 20-year low against the U.S. dollar on recession fears. It means less expensive foreign travel and cheaper imports for consumers, but it can hurt U.S. companies that rely on global markets for sales. Illinois and the country having the gun control conversation this morning after yesterday's Highland Park mass shooting. After such shootings, gun stocks often rise as investors believe the top-of-mind gun control threat means consumers will buy more of them to stock up before any bans take place. This week, we get Fed meeting minutes, which may have hints on how fast interest rates will go up. Plus, investors are waiting for the big jobs report, which comes Friday morning. Universal's Minions, The Rise of Gru, was number one at the weekend box office. Universal is a sister company to CNBC. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
My friend and I are taking a trip to Mexico this year, but neither of us speak Spanish. So we downloaded Babbel and started learning Spanish fast.
Want to get conversational in another language in as little as 3 weeks? Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons were designed by language experts to be the most efficient and effective way to learn a new language.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿De dónde eres?
¿De dónde eres?
Babbel's interactive lessons are created by real language teachers and voiced by real native speakers using a modern conversation-based method. So in no time, you'll be speaking confidently about real-life topics in another language.
Nosotras vamos a México en dos días y ahora hablamos español.
Gracias, Babbel.
Sí, muchas gracias.
Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
It's been an amazing day in Southeast Iowa. First, you walked a creek in your Red Wing boots and Carhartt cargo pants. Then you tackled yard work with your Ego cordless power mower with self-propelled touch drive and DeWalt battery-powered yard tools. Mom would be proud because you remembered to wear your Edge polarized safety eyewear. With your yard looking amazing, you invited friends over for a barbecue. You all sat around your custom-built picnic table and you fired up the Traeger pellet grill. As the daylight fades away, you hand the Bug assault guns that shoot ordinary table salt to the kids to tackle the mosquitoes. This perfect day all started at Standard of Beaverdale. When you visited their store, you were greeted with several friendly smiles and a "How can we help you today?" You received expert advice, and now you have everything you need to enjoy summer. So sit back in your new zero-gravity lawn lounge chair and smile, because you shopped Standard of Beaverdale in West Burlington, Iowa, open 6 days a week.
Everything you need to know and more on AM and FM. All your favorite programs and personalities with a cleaner, clearer signal and a larger nighttime coverage area. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
What a week. January 6th hearings going on. We have a debate. One thing that has not been disputed. We had the Cassidy Hutchinson. Was it Cassidy Hutchinson? I think it was. It was the young lady that was in front of the the January 6th committee, is that right?
I don't remember the person's name off the top
okay.
of my head.
Okay, well,
no.
Regardless, it was, and she was talking about the Secret Service. And
what and, she heard from
And what she heard
person.
From directly from a Secret Service, the head of a Secret Service agent and also a person in the White House counsel who was a Secret Service agent.
And
yes.
And who has subsequently been subpoenaed to
right.
repeat that testimony.
And we have not had any denial, specific denial of any of the things specifically from, or any comment or just specific denial from the Secret Service itself. Now.
Or from the former president.
We've had from the former president. We said,
he's
who is basically.
One word responses.
Well.
Like, phony.
I know. Which is typical, but it's the fact it doesn't really, does it, all we've heard now is that he wants to take the steam out of the January 6th committee by announcing to be president. And that he says he's
running again.
He's still number one. He's still number one in the race for the White House. And he very well may be. I don't know. And yes.
I think personally in the Republican Party, there's a lot of strong contenders there.
I don't know where we're going to see whatever we're going to see.
And I still have this scruple about Trump running again, and I have no doubt he will. But I'm saying if they want the White House back, I don't think he's the smart candidate. Because look at all the amount of baggage and just bad things that follow him around.
He's got a lot of support.
Especially
we'll see.
With, you know, independent and swing voters, they really don't see him as the guy anymore.
Well, and also the other thing that we've had happen. What else did we have happen last? Gee, did we have anything else happen last week? Okay, I can't think. Boy, talk about a week of transition. Think about it. Look at Roe v. Wade. We had we had legalizing prayer. We had. I'm not sure where they're going to go next. We had the EPA. We had outlawing or saying the EPA does not have the power to regulate. Emissions and that is therefore, you know, these laws, all of these laws basically rolling back some of the things. But the Roe v. Wade one rolls back one that goes back nearly 50 years.
The Roe v. Wade one was the big one.
It was the big one and a number of others. And they're
caused probably the most amount of outrage.
And you've got an absolute clear conservative and very conservative leaning majority. On this Supreme Court right now.
Who, need I remind you, lied when they said they wouldn't touch Roe v. Wade?
Well, of course that could easily be explained by the fact that we were in front of a Senate committee and we hadn't investigated. Until we get into the particulars of a particular law and a challenge to that particular law, then we really can't make a decision on that, can we? So I think they could say quite honestly and fairly, whether honestly or not, but they could say fairly, yes, we wait until we see a law that has been or a challenge to a law and then decide its and study constitutionality.
It's such a slippery slope when you get into questions like this because, you know, the main argument you'll hear with pro-choicers is, and I've heard all sorts of arguments, good, bad, and indifferent, and the argument I hear is, before, when Roe v. Wade was in effect, the choice regarding abortion was in the hands of women.
Right.
And now that choice has been taken away.
Now it is in the hand of
the government.
And a lot of the laws are in the hands of the, and they have, a lot of the states have, a lot of the state governments have trigger laws that automatically went into effect. Those are being challenged by some of the state Supreme Courts right now because of the fact that it takes certain rights away. South Dakota is a prime example. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem said that if a 10-year-old was raped, and there has been a 10-year-old that's been raped and pregnant.
In Ohio.
But she said if it happened, they said, what would you do if it was in South Dakota? We are not going to add another tragedy to a tragedy. Okay. Now, in other words, move on to the next question, please. Yeah, this is the kind of situation we had. Back in those of us who remember what it was like before Roe v. Wade, know that if you, let's say you were in Iowa and you had and you were and you became pregnant by or whatever for whatever situation, but you became pregnant and you like, I can't take care, I can't have a baby, and I'm not going to have I'm not going to have the baby. I'm not going to carry this baby to term, and I don't want. And the only place you could go that I was aware of it. Now there were some places I'm sure, but the only place I knew of was New York, finding the quote unquote the old quote unquote back alley, illegal abortions, and
which could be very dangerous.
And all of those sorts of things. It was a mess. And Roe v. Wade changed that, but it also meant that there was an awful lot of people that said, abortion issue was too complicated for the most part. Now, if there was a codified, I mentioned this, if we had a codified law that said, okay, these are restrictions that can be lived with, let's put and have those in effect. So we're going to end the choice, but the choice, you have restrictions, but the choice of whether to make any decision.
I think that would be
specifically for the woman.
I think that would be a very agreeable form of doing it.
I would think that would be a very agreeable form too,
but
it would not please everybody. No, but, that would away,
but it would be there.
But anyway.
But again, much like with the gun issue, if I can use that allegory.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I'm saying that in terms of this kind of legislation, all or nothing is not the answer.
I know. There is no all.
In either direction, all or nothing is not the answer.
No, and we're just talking about the fact is AR-15s. Should you ban AR-15s? Yeah, well, I don't know. The question comes up is what. The problem is that if you're going to be committing, if you want to kill somebody,
you don't care about legality.
You don't care about legality at all.
And those are the people that are targeted. But back on topic here,
yeah.
Just the main problem I hear a lot of people have on Roe v. Wade is that effectively the choice for the woman has been taken away.
And it changes depending upon where you go and where the...
Some places the abortion laws might have stayed exactly the same.
And some places, yeah. Illinois,
for example, like Illinois, I'm pretty sure nothing has changed there.
Nothing has changed in Illinois, and it's right across the river. So, I mean, it's a different situation.
If you're near a state that has, still has their old abortion laws in effect, and you are seeking that option, which, depending on your feelings, is a whole nother, that's a whole nother thing. But depending, the option is still available to most people. But if you live in a certain state where there's no other states where you can get it around,
and if it's,
get it nearby,
and
I should
and
say.
If it's too far to go, then it's going to be, then it will certainly change. It will sort of nullify a lot of the ability anyway, because if you're poor and you don't have the funds and trying to, you're dealing with enough to deal with as you're dealing with it. So one tragedy does not deserve another tragedy, but the fact that you now are being told what you can and what you can't do, and you're now being restricted by what you can or cannot do. Restrictions are okay, but the problem is it should be a codified law, but it's not going to be because we've got a legislature that is in gridlock, and it's been in gridlock. I don't know when it's not been in gridlock. Can you?
No.
We're going to take another break. 319-754-1490. There we go. Got the right fours.
And now, the Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
Well, Kyrie has six teams on his list. I don't know how many of those six teams want Kyrie. Because I was wondering about this analogy. Let's say I was getting a divorce from my wife. And then I said, I got six women I'd like to date. Kate Beckinsale. Jennifer Aniston. They have to be interested in me.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes. And you.
Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Fox Sports 104.5. And 1360.
After seeing all those fun family vacation pictures that everyone else is posting on social media, I bet you're ready for your turn. Want to save some money while you're gone? Listen to this from Access Energy Cooperative. If you plan to leave some lights on, set them up on a timer so they're not using energy the whole time you're gone. Unplug all appliances that don't need to be on, even the little ones like coffee makers. They can use energy even when they're not being used. Adjust the temperature on your refrigerator. It is one of the biggest energy users in your home. Since you probably emptied it anyway, set it at 38 degrees. And turn your water heater temperature down. Some water heaters have a vacation setting. If yours doesn't, set it no higher than 85 degrees. Don't forget to turn the fridge and water heater back up when you get home. Do you need to run your air conditioner while you are gone? For most energy savings, turn it off. If you need to run it, set the thermostat at 85 degrees. For more energy saving ideas, visit AccessEnergyCoop.com. And don't worry about your home wasting energy while you enjoy your time away. Access Energy Cooperative, a Touchstone Energy Cooperative.
I tend to second-guess dinners with friends because they're often interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit Creon.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's Creon.com.
The Chad Benson Show.
Everybody's feeling. Everybody has. What would it be like right now, even with the printing of the money, if we had gas prices at $2 or $3? If inflation had gone up 5%, we'd be frustrated, but would we be feeling it the way we are now? No.
The Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson, weeknights from 8 to 11 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And welcome back on the talk show today. It's been a very crazy week that has went by last week. A little bit longer of a week, maybe because we had the holiday weekend. We tagged onto it, but it is. Yeah, we have. I didn't even mention the fact that we've got. The war crimes that are being done in Ukraine, and the fact is that we've got now Finland and Sweden, which are now going to be admitted to NATO, and we've got ruthlessness beyond ruthlessness being done by Putin and they're leveling these places to the ground. There's nothing left of them. They're pummeled. They've been there. There's no target
raised
that's not
to the ground.
Raised to the ground, burned to the ground. There's no let up. There's one shelling after another. And morality is complete. Well, war has never been morality based anyway. But it's
as much as certain people would like to paint it that way.
I know, but it doesn't. There's no good. I know. We used to say the good war. No, there's no good war. This is just...
There is good and evil on all sides.
But there is extreme evil when you use extreme war crimes and specifically go after civilians. Now, were we guilty of that in World War II? Yes.
We're guilty of that in a lot of wars.
We're guilty. Everybody's guilty of that. They look at Hiroshima, Nagasaki... Well, were
that's,
those
that's a whole nother
no,
level of discussion.
It was, and I said,
even as far back, if you go back to the American Civil War,
I know
soldiers on both sides attack civilians all the time.
I know it's part of warfare. But the fact that we have the strategy being done by Putin right now is no less than the... Well, I mean, I'm not sure. He's not... At least he's not, you know, rounding up people. Well, no, he was. He was literally rounding up people by the hundreds and thousands and just shooting them in the back of the head. Okay, these are... These are people in this, citizens being mass executed. That is a very big war crime. But I don't know, and that's crossing the, yeah. Is it crossing the line? Yeah, it is.
You would think that someone in his own administration or someone in the Russian military would have said something by now, but they're probably afraid to.
They're very much afraid to. If you say anything again, well, look at Brittany Griner. She's on trial right now. She's waiting for the U.S. to potentially release a mass murderer, quote unquote, spy that's being held here.
A prisoner exchange.
Prisoner exchange for her. And I don't see, there doesn't seem to be any other way for her to get back here. Russian law is Russian law, which is not law. It's based on, guilt. You are absolutely guilty until some way, somehow, you can either be proven innocent or be traded.
And, you know, with all the economic sanctions that pretty much every Western power, for the most part, has put on Russia, who is suffering the most in that country for that?
The people are suffering. Is Putin suffering? No.
No, he's set. He's fine.
So what can NATO do?
Him and all his buddies with their $20 million yachts and their European football clubs.
What's he going to do? What can NATO do? What can really NATO
really
do?
Really just keep doing the things they've been doing and hope Russia runs out of steam.
I guess, well...
Is that the best solution? No, but it's the only one that seems feasible without,
I know. It's a darn...
Escalating the conflict.
I know. It's a darn if you do, darn if you don't type of situation. I don't... All we have, what we come out with today, is we've got a lot of complicated issues. We've got a lot of complicated situations. We've got a lot of places...
They are complicated, and there are no easy solutions, but...
We've got a lot of things that divide people right down the line.
Yes, but I emphasize, these are discussions that need to be had if solutions are what we want.
And I don't know what... And the question is,
and the
what
discussions
can we
are
do?
Not fun, they are uncomfortable, and they're going to anger some people, but they're discussions that need to be had.
All right. All right. Thanks you for listening today. All right. So we didn't get any calls today, but we did have conversation. We did talk about the things that at least were on our mind. We've got police officers joining us on Thursday and special programming tomorrow coming up.